Good morning. And for a bio, I'm currently a PhD student at UCSD or in San Diego State in health promotion. And in talking about VADI, what Stephanie's presented to you just now, as students, we focus a little bit on the participants, but I'd like to say just briefly why, as a student, I would participate in VADI. I was a participant in 2006 and 2007, and I felt that it was an excellent opportunity as a student to witness and participate in basic and not-so-basic public health, a thing that is often missing from the classroom experience. And I'd like to thank my co-authors before I begin. And no relationships to discuss. I get really nervous at these things, so if I get a little shaky, if I move around a little bit, please forgive me. So specifically what we're looking at in San Quintín and Lomas de San Ramón are indigenous people. Across Mexico, what we've found is less than 5% of the regions with primarily indigenous people don't have access to basic services. We've also seen caloric, macro, and micronutrient deficiencies among indigenous peoples, and they show a high prevalence of anemia, underweight, and stunting in indigenous children. Which, when we're looking at specifically the colonia that VADI has gone down to, we see that as well. The origins of the people tend to be from Oaxaca and Guerrero, but it's also represented by people from Baja California, Veracruz, and Chiapas. And although Spanish is the primary language spoken in the homes, some of the families primarily speak Triqui or Mixteco, which, as you'll see, is a particular problem as you're trying to deliver a nutrition assessment or any assessment. 62% of the mothers in the homes have less than a primary school education. Not all of the homes have electricity, and under half of the homes actually have a working refrigerator. So the project I'm presenting today is an attempt to examine the nutritional profile of residents living in Lomas de San Ramón. And the sub-points is to explore and develop a nutritional survey tool, address language and educational barriers to assessment, and use this information to inform OABC community leaders and funding agencies about the nutritional beliefs, access, and consumption of the people in the community, and also to provide ongoing input into the Rotary School Kitchen and Lunch Program. I think Stephanie covered most of this slide. But from San Diego State, which is where we did the nutrition program from, most of this project came from the spring semesters in the health promotion side of things. Important to note, most of the students are new and volunteers, and we call them the novatos. And if you've been to VADI, you know what that means. They're often advised by veteran students, PhD students or returning students. The whole project is developed and designed in the classroom, and again, often by students who have never been to a colonia, have never talked to indigenous peoples, and some who've never actually been out of the United States. And again, this trip lasts 4 days. You drive down Friday, you start working Saturday and Sunday, and drive back Monday. Very intense. You don't sleep a whole lot. previous nutrition projects have... So let me back up a bit. The nutrition project I'm presenting today is one of a series of projects, each building on the last. So in the previous years, we found a low food variety. So we're looking more at groups of food. Beans and starches being the most often consumed food groups. Most of the residents in the colonia don't eat fruits and vegetables every day, and none believe that they need to eat fruits and vegetables every day. There are approximately 25 small stores of various sizes in the community, and they have a very small selection of fruits and vegetables as well. And again, less than half of the families have working refrigerators. We used 65 families from the previous year's LEAD project that were randomly selected based on strategies that Mike can speak more to than I can. The interviews were conducted by 5 student groups, MPH and PhD students from SDSU, but there always had to be a Spanish speaker. Again, not all of the students in the project spoke Spanish, and in fact, generally less than half do. So we always had to ensure we had a Spanish speaker, and that was, if we couldn't find somebody from SDSU, there was always an UABC student that was willing to volunteer with us. We interviewed the food preparer in the home and asked basic demographic questions and the food frequency questionnaire. We also set aside a subsample of 4 of these families to try to get to pilot test a visual aid portion estimator, which we found didn't really work that well. And we also conducted direct observations in the stores in the Colonia. For the food frequency, I need to tell you a little bit about how that worked. Ideally, we ask how many times per week do you eat food item X? On those days, how many times did you eat that item? And then there's a portion size estimate. Well, that didn't work. And part of that was because of a language problem from our participants' perspective and from our interviewers' perspective. The Spanish that was spoken didn't always match, and then not all the families actually spoke any Spanish. And then there's an issue of trying to get people who aren't used to counting servings to count servings. So we ended up with a scale from 1 to 10 that meant 1 being didn't eat that item at all, and 10 being ate that item 5 or more times a day. For the store, we got into 17 of the 25 stores. We just basically ran out of time. We couldn't get to all of the stores in the 2 days that we had. But the pairs of students that went out to do the observations mapped where the store was in the community, mapped the store interior, so where were all the food items at, inventoried the food and the quality of the food, and looked for things like refrigerators and that kind of stuff. Basically, they just drew a map. So looking at the results that we got, chili peppers was the most eaten food item, followed by onions, corn tortillas, tomatoes, and strawberries. If you scan down to the bottom, I can use my little mouse. As a write-in item, people started talking to us about a maseca tortilla we'd never heard of before. And it's a corn and flour mix. And they actually, of the 13 families we were able to ask that they eat maseca tortillas, they ate that more often than corn or flour or anything else. And it's a way to... it's a way to make your food last a little bit longer. Again, no food item was endorsed as daily, but the chili peppers, onions, and corn tortillas were close. Strawberries is probably a high indicator. As they used to be able to take the strawberries home when they picked them. The farmers have since discontinued that practice. So strawberries will probably drop out of that in subsequent semesters. What we see in terms of different groups, we're interested in meats because of the anemia problem, but they don't eat any meat daily. Eggs almost, and chicken less, beef less than that. And it's actually difficult to get meat in the community, and it's not often refrigerated when it's kept. Vegetables, again, chili peppers, onions, and carrots, fruits, the tomatoes, strawberries, and bananas. With the store observations, to follow up a little bit with what we found in terms of what they reported eating, we found immediately, we discovered quickly that processed food would dominate all of the stores. Specifically, Flaming Hot Cheetos was a big item. cookies and dried chilies were also in all of the stores. And we think this is because storage and time. They don't go bad. Cheetos will be here long after we're gone. 16 of the 17 stores had bananas, soda, and candy. So, and if you notice from the previous slide, bananas is one of the fruits that they say they eat a lot of, relatively. Tomatoes and onions were sold in the majority of the stores, beef in 5, and chicken in 3. But again, the meat wasn't always refrigerated in the stores that we saw. So, what does all of this mean? Well, qualitatively, we found out, because we don't have, our portion size estimator didn't work out, don't think that they eat a full serving of onions or chili peppers every day. This is likely comes from salsa. So they eat salsa with their meals, and when they asked how often do you eat tomato, well, I ate salsa 3 times. So that means I ate tomatoes 3 times. So the frequency of eating the different vegetables is actually lower than it appears, and that's why we need to really concentrate on getting a food estimate or a portion size estimate to really get at the nutrition of the community. They do report eating some kind of meat 3 to 4 times a week, but the quality of the meat we're not really quite sure of. Chili and onions, again, that's part of the salsa. The next surveys really need to concentrate on figuring out the masaka and if there are any other items that we didn't pick up. But on a positive note, we do have a lot more, a better idea of the types of foods to eat. So we do have developed a comprehensive list of the food items that will help us to ask better questions in the future. And in conclusion, the indigenous farm workers in Mexico produce most of Mexico's produce. That's an awkward sentence. But they don't get anything from it. So they get to go pick all the fruit, but don't eat it. Refrigeration presents a very significant barrier to getting better fruits and vegetables and meats. So they have to get food items that, or they have to shop frequently to get them because they can't put them in something to keep it longer. What we've seen in the medical clinics with anemia, stunting, and obesity is likely linked to these the lack of adequate diet as presented from the interviews. Again, as this is a series of projects, what we've picked up from that year's survey went into a recipe project for the next year. So learning to develop or developing recipes that use the food items that they actually have. We definitely need to go to look at a better food or portion size estimate. We also need to identify some foods that have longer shelf lives. So foods that don't necessarily need to be refrigerated and will last a week or two. Definitely need to work towards including the local store owners in the fruit and vegetable consumption. And all of this continues to go into the Rotary Kitchen Project, which is the feeding the elementary school students. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason Daniel. I have a hard time thinking of your last name as Daniel because my oldest son's first name is Daniel. But moving right along.